Sometimes when I am considering coming down here, like Monday evening, to teach, I'm assumed that I'm supposed to have something to teach. And I'm supposed to explain something. But sometimes I think that maybe more useful for you than to be taught something, like be taught an answer or something, is to be given a question and go home with a question. And not a question that perplexes you, but a question that helps kind of you probe or point you to something that's maybe more essential that you can only do by kind of going there yourself, going into through that reality into, or deeply into reality in the way that a question can do. And so the question I'd like to offer you this week, maybe some of you would like to take it home with you and use it during the course of the week or for the rest of your life. And that is, it's a very simple question. Maybe that's part of the beauty. And that is, what is it that you can let go of right now so you can feel freer? What is it you can let go of right now so you discover freedom here and now? Now, freedom is kind of the measure of all things Buddhists. And freedom is really the heart of one of the hearts of Buddhism. And it's both the goal of Buddhist compassion, and it's the soil out of which Buddhist compassion arises, is freedom itself. Freedom is synonymous with peace. Liberation is another word for it. It's also synonymous in Buddhist terms for happiness. And it's really wonderful to me how happy you can be with nothing, with very little. And I know for some people that the idea of being happy with nothing is perplexing, is an impossible idea. The idea of sitting still for some people is impossible. And to sit still, have nothing happen, and then to be happy is foreign, because to sit still and have nothing happen, the deeper conditioning, deeper complexes, the deeper assumptions that we live our life by, our assumptions or complexes or conditionings, which are often not so pleasant, not so happy. Assumptions of insecurity, or assumptions of that build anxiety, or assumptions of that the world is a threatening place. And so to do nothing brings a person back to those places inside of them where they feel most threatened or most ill at ease. But even there, you can ask the question, what can you let go of to find your freedom? And this is kind of, I think, one of the hard questions of Buddhism, because you let go enough, you'll define freedom. If you could let go a little bit and you're not happy, you haven't let go enough. So some people can let go a little bit. And I discovered at a time that if I let go and was grumpy, and then I really hadn't let go. I thought I had. And then there was once I let go of my resentment towards someone. And it took me a long time to realize that I hadn't really let go, because I let go of the resentment and I came to a neutral place. I was neutral toward the person. And I thought that neutral was, you know, I was free. But actually neutral was still a kind of resistance, kind of defensiveness or something, still holding on to something. And if I'd really let him go well, which I eventually learned to do, then I'd have goodwill, friendly feelings towards that person, or friendly attitude at least, approach that person. So to let go, you know, thoroughly enough to receive the sweetness or the beauty or the happiness that can come. So what is it you have to let go of? Now, part of this exploration, perhaps it helps to understand what it is, what's the opposite of freedom. And so, you know, the obvious opposite, I suppose, is bondage. And certainly in the Buddhist texts, they talk a lot about, they use words like bondage or fetters that people have. And one of the places to discover how we're in bondage or how we're caught or driven or not free is in meditation practice. There's a very simple test you can do to find out how unfree you might be. And that is, can you sit still and not engage in discursive thinking? Can you sit still and not have a conversation in your mind? Can you sit still and not have images, you know, like a movie spin in front of you about the future or the past or whatever? Can you choose to stop doing that? To drop it, to let go of it, and then let the next moment just arise on its own? If you can't do that, then you're not free. And because then something's driving you, driving your mind, and you've lost your choice. And you might let go of it for a moment and feel a moment's respite, and then the thinking starts up again, the conversation starts up again. So it's a very interesting place. You can kind of find out. And part of the value of meditation is you can find out where you're not free in a way you can't very well, maybe can't do so as well in daily life. Because in daily life, if you're busy all the time, it might mask how unfree you are. If you're always doing and doing and doing, you know, it's, you know, always the, you know. Like if someone is a, you know, lives their whole life on a trampoline, maybe a trampoline in their backyard. So if you live your whole life on the trampoline, you might never have the opportunity to sit still and quiet and then notice that your fingers are always tapping your thighs, like you're really nervous. The trampoline, you're so busy, you know, jumping up and around, you don't notice this underlying kind of layer of anxiety that's there. So sitting still is an interesting place to discover it. But I think a lot of you will discover places you're not free in daily life. And another kind of way of discovering your unfreeness is if you're unhappy, if you're suffering. The Buddhist idea is that if you're suffering, if you're unhappy, it represents some place you're not free. And so you can ask the question for yourself. When you notice you're not happy, what is it that you can let go of right now so you can be free? What is it you let go of right now so you can be happy? It's certainly, the question's easy. Sometimes the answer is easy. Sometimes fulfilling the answer is hard. It's not always so easy just to drop something because you see it. But I think for me it's been a very helpful question because I'm content to let go of what I can. So sometimes I can't let go of everything I see, all the places of attachment and holding. But sometimes it's enough to let go of my judgments that it shouldn't be that way. Oh, you know, I'm a Buddhist teacher. All these people, wonderful people, are going to listen to me. I should be the embodiment of freedom and not get irritated with a long line at the post office. And, well, I should. And I did today. I let go of it very quickly. But, you know, but also, I can let go of my assumptions that I have to be somebody, because that adds a layer of suffering. Oh, I have to be a person who's a certain kind of way. I have to be a person who doesn't get attached. And then it's easier, of course, if you let go of that assumption, that belief, it's easier then to maybe find where the key is to let go of the deeper assumptions. So given what's happening, what do we let go of so that we can be freer? So sometimes another way to kind of feel your way into this question, into the answer to the question, is through your body. Because the body is also a wonderful teacher for how we're unfree. And one of the ways that unfreeness manifests in the body is tension in the body. And so I was sitting here with you all, and I was feeling pretty peaceful, pretty still for a while, and this little thought arises, you know, I'm sitting very still and very nice, this is good. And then when I saw that thought go through my mind, I said, well, let's not pat myself on the shoulder too quickly. Let's look around here and see what else is going on here. And a little bit to my surprise, I found that there was this tension around my eyes. And when I noticed the tension in my eyes, then I noticed that there was actually, even though I thought I wasn't thinking, isn't that a paradox? Even though I thought I wasn't thinking, there was a very subtle, kind of very subtle layer of thinking going on. There was kind of like the stage director kind of behind the stage. And which was being expressed in this tension on my eyes. So in this situation, it was my tension in my body which showed me where the holding was, where the bondage was, where the kind of compulsion was. So sometimes it's your thoughts, sometimes it's your feelings. Sometimes there's obsessions, you know, or feelings that just doesn't want to let up. Doesn't let you feel unhappy feelings, doesn't let up. You're sad or angry or depressed, and it just doesn't want to let up. And you know you should, you know, you'd like to feel better. And it might be interesting to ask, what is it you can let go of right now that makes you free or happier? And there's different ways of holding this question. The question, what is it? What can you let go of? It's not the same question of what should you let go of. If you're a good Buddhist, you should let go of it all. And if you can't, you should just beat yourself up. Oh, I'm not a good Buddhist. No, of course not. You shouldn't do that. So there's things maybe we ideally should let go of, but sometimes we have to let go of our idealism. Sometimes our idealism is the very cause of our bondage, being too idealistic. So then the question is, what can you let go of? What can you let go of? So you can feel a little bit freer. Maybe that's a good question. Better question. What can you let go of so you feel a little bit freer? And the assumption I have behind offering you this question is that more often than not, people are overlook or don't give themselves a chance to let go of what's easy to let go of. And there's lots and lots of opportunities to let go. You know, thousands of them in the course of the day that you probably can drop, things you can drop really easily. And we're so busy or so caught up or so wrapped up or so anxious or so, you know, so something that we don't avail ourselves of the places we can be lightened up a little bit. One of the great things to let go of is to let go of the neurotic concern about what other people think about you. Can you do that? There was a time I couldn't, and that was painful. And then there's letting go of anxiety about the future. I used to have a lot of anxiety about the future. One of the things that helped with that was I spent a lot of time planning the future. You know, planning whatever, and concerned about what was going to happen. And after a while, it dawned on me that more often than not, the future didn't occur the way that I envisioned it was going to happen. Some meeting I was worried about, and the meeting was canceled, or the people weren't there, or something. You know, it was always something a little different. And after a while, I saw that over and over and over again, maybe because I'm kind of not very intelligent in my planning, my imagination. There's some of you are probably brilliant, and, you know, it turns out to be exactly as predicted. But I wasn't so smart at it, which I was very lucky. Because then, after a while, I caught on. Oh, wait a minute, I can't do this very well. So, might as well not try. So then I kind of let go. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. It's often different than what I expect anyway, so it's more useful just to kind of be present and figure it out then and there without being anxious about it. So what is it you can let go of right now so you can be happier? So you can take that question home with you over the week and ask yourself that question. Or you can do even better and you can answer the question right now. Why wait? Does anybody have any answers for us? You'd like to share? Not too embarrassed to share?
I'll share.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Well, for me, what arose was letting go of letting go, surrendering to surrender, to letting go on a second by minute, by hour, and day basis. Works really well. Because things happen. I mean, just gotten a little bit of a fender bender on the way here. I wasn't in a rush, but I was taking time with someone, and in the course, I don't like to rush and do anything in a rush thing or spend more time than is necessary for any task. So I left and jumped in the shower and came here, and as I was pulling out, I hit my neighbor's bumper on the back of my door. And I was thinking about somebody else at the time. And I stopped, pulled over, called my neighbor, and told him, hey, I want to hit your bumper. Well, his is a big construction truck, and mine's a big construction van. So we kind of like fender bended, and his was kind of bent up anyway. So he just said, oh, just buy me a beer. And I said, that was great. And at the same time, I was saying, oh, my door is just, you know, it's mismangled, you know, now I'm going to have to deal with that and stuff. And I had to let go of being in control of the situation, because I'm not. It was more being concentrated in the moment of just relaxing and saying, hey, everything's okay. You know, you're just going to have to take care of that. And then, of course, I came here and sat down. And it was just that moment of constant surrender and letting go of letting go. Is that control issue thing, the judgment on the control. Am I in control? Well, I'm never in control.
So a wonderful variation of letting go practice is letting be practice. Just letting things be. Thank you. Yeah. Up here in the front, or towards the front. Hi.
See, now I'm supposed to not worry what people think of me because I didn't turn the microphone on. You know? Well, you know that DVD, The Secret?
No.
Because that many people may know of it. It's about manifestation and how to ask and create your future from the law of attraction. And it's kind of like the divine teachings of the masters, where you just, I guess, you believe you have what you'd like from your heart as if it's here before it ever arrives. So I'm so very, very confused between letting go and letting God and surrendering to God's will, my will, because they tell you to do your bliss. And, you know, in life there's a lot of growth, and I don't understand too about like karma, and I always believe there were past lives and things. Well, I call their prayer lines, and it was a movie made, and it sold also at the bookstore at Full Circle, and it sold on DVD, and it shows how people, like a lady who healed herself from breast cancer, she just believed in gratitude that it was gone, and like Norman Cousins, watched movies and funny movies and raised her vibration, and it was gone. And about people attracting their dreams. So they say, live as though it's already here, and then put the vibrations. I hadn't in the past have to do that. I would just ask God and release. You know what I mean? Like prayer to me was constipated consternation. I didn't.
Claire was constipated consternation.
Well, what it was I think it was that I didn't understand that a prayer was the same thing as a wish, that if I wished a thought and God heard it, that, you know, so as if this is now then a plea and a cry for help. Because my brother told me, move, I will pay your rent ongoing. I did, and he breached his promise, and I'm a nice Jewish girl that's Buddhist, everything. I'm everything. I'm not a religion, you know what I mean? I'm just a human and who's almost homeless on the street.
So the question this evening is,
how do I
what can we let go of now?
My body could be.
What can
because
we,
if someone doesn't help me, I may lose it. See, I don't want to lose my cat, and I don't want to lose my body. And I don't want to harm anything. I can't hurt myself and kill myself, and you can't escape. So I am in an endangered species list. So if I don't tell it to people and say that I'm looking for a room maybe as a share rental with one, as I call a purebred Persian cat and one person to rent with so that I can move forward.
So what you're asking for tonight is you're hoping to find a place to rent?
Perhaps, yes, because if I cannot maintain and that the person made a change of heart, and I just want our family to heal, and then my friend who is married to the sheriff tried to call them for help for me.
So excuse me.
It went on to dramas you won't believe.
Excuse me. So there's a question here for the whole group, and you're kind of veering off a little bit.
Yes.
So I need to kind of just remind the whole group that the question for all of you is, what can you let go of right now so that you're a little bit happier? And then the question that I pose to you, to all of you, is that very simple question. And so I wonder if it would be okay with you if we kind of continue going around the room.
Yeah, well, I just thought if I put out the fear, that I try to let go of fear.
Uh-huh.
That is very difficult in my case.
Very good.
And so, that to let go and let God, but to ask. And if I told people here, maybe somebody could say, you never know, in manifestation circles, and love, people do things to help others, or say, hey, I have a job for you, you know, a side job.
If you're new to here, to our center, one of the primary values or kind of approaches to practice we have here is not actually letting go, but is rather being very honest about what's happening. And it's beautiful what you said. You talked about your fear. And even though maybe you can't let go of your fear, in the practice of mindfulness here, we use the honesty about fear as a door into that freedom. So you said you spoke your fear very well, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I don't want to live in fear. It's the worst vibration, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's a little different in different groups of belief. But meanwhile, I didn't know I'd say all that, but that DVD, The Secret's very popular, and I don't know the answers, you know?
Great. Thank you.
So, next.
For me, it's two things. One, food. You know, I eat too much. The other one is excessive exercise.
Well, maybe they go together. Thank you. Right next to you.
Actually, I don't know if I have an answer to. I mean, I do have an answer about what to let go right now. But one of the things I don't let go when I'm in meditation is my mind gets into this relaxed state that I start getting creative, like with creative thoughts. And at one point during one of your teachings, you read a passage where the Buddha said, if it's something that you know makes you happy and open and joyous, to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, then do less of that. And so when I get into that creative space, when I'm being creative inside my head, I just sort of just let it happen. Mm-hmm. Because it gives me joy. And then I see myself watching my thoughts going, oh, I'm in this space right now. I should just let this go and just relax a little bit. And it makes me think back of one of your teachings when you said it's like watching the sheep and you yourself as the shepherd and the sheep. It's kind of that in relaxation. So that opened me up. I don't know if that's something that I should let go or...
Someday it might be something you will let go of. I think if you keep watching, keep being mindful of this whole process, at some point you'll find that there's a better, greater, more satisfying sense of well-being that comes when you let go of the creativity as well. So the creativity can come with a nice feeling to it, but when you know even a nicer feeling, more peaceful, more settled, more a place within, then the pleasure of creativity will not be so alluring. That's so interesting. But until you know something better, then of course it seems pretty promising, pretty nice.
So why not?
So one approach, which is, you know, is just go with it, and sooner or later you'll have enough of it. Sooner or later you'll find that continuing to do this in meditation is kind of a dead end. But until you see that for yourself, you know, you can keep doing it. But sooner or later you'll see it's kind of a dead end, and as nice as it is, at some point, you know.
Okay.
You know, it's like some people will have a lot of sexual fantasies in meditation. Sexual fantasies can, for some people, be very pleasant. But give yourself over to it for nonstop for 96 hours, and after a while you get pretty tired. And you know, there's plenty of people who've been meditators who, just, after a while, say, "Enough of this! This is driving me batty." It was nice initially, but so just like that. So something which initially might seem very pleasant or happiness-producing, it might change its tone, or your idea of it might change over time. But you don't have to be in a hurry. It'll all unfold in its own way.
Okay.
Especially if you're honest and look carefully. What is this? What is this? Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Easy this way, huh? During most of the meditation, after the bell rang, I realized I just missed most of it. So I felt like I had such an awful meditation, and that judgment came in, and I would love to let go of that.
Your judgment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess wanting something different than what I'm experiencing.
Mm. So you'd love to let go of your judgment, but you say that because you can't do it so easily? You can't let go of it so easily?
Well, it just pops up automatically, you know.
Automatically.
It just, that was the worst meditation I've had in a long, long time, you know.
So it lingers there, doesn't it? You can't just drop it, and it kind of lingers and kind of causes you to feel kind of uneasy?
I don't know if it's uneasy. I mean, it's just, I have a feeling it's there about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the meditation, but I have a feeling it's there automatically.
Uh-huh.
About a lot of things, yeah.
So then the question might be, what can you let go of if you can't let go of the judgment? Or what could you let go of?
I'd like to just be okay with whatever is happening. But
you can be okay with being a judging person.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay with having a lousy meditation, okay?
Something like that. I mean, the minute it came in, I'm like, well, you know, don't let go of it so soon, because there's probably something you're going to learn from this, you know. So don't want to get rid of it, but maybe explore it or something, you know.
So in that approach, would you feel lighter? If you feel lighter, would you do that?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Thank you.
Well, I'm attached to a person that I need to detach from, but I have noticed that I'm attached to the attachment.
Oh.
And so there's a certain kind of energy, I guess it's some kind of pleasure in that attachment. So it's kind of like, it's not so much about the person, it's about the attachment to the attachment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So part of the benefit of that attachment to the attachment is pleasure. Are there any other benefits you're getting of staying attached?
Well, there is pain as well. So I don't know. It just almost as if there's a reservoir of energy that I could, by letting go of it, I could tap into, and maybe I'm a little bit afraid of the potential if I had that, maybe being afraid of the freedom. I don't know.
So the attachment protects you from the risk that comes from letting your energy, your freedom, kind of flow freely.
Yeah, it's kind of going into free fall, in a way.
Yeah.
Just.
So can you imagine any situation in life, any kind of conditions you can create around you, so that you can let go of your attachment safely, even temporarily? and where you can let that free flow or let flow of stuff just happen on its own. What would you have to put in place so you could do that?
I'll think about that. I'm not sure.
Why don't you think about it and see if you can create a safe environment where it's safe to let go.
Okay. Thank you.
I could let go of my nightly glass of wine tonight.
Your what?
I can let go of my my usual glass of wine at night. Oh. I can let go of that tonight.
Great. Glad to hear that. I hope you sleep better.
Thank you.
My mother died of cancer in January, and I've been going through the process of letting go of her and my relationship with her. And I have discovered that it's a very big task, and if I try to let it go all at once, it's very difficult. And the other thing that I've discovered through sitting is that part of the attachment is not necessarily to her, but to myself. And that the idea of who I am as a being was attached very strongly to her as my mother. And so every day, I'm letting go of a little piece of her and of myself in the process. And that letting go of myself is about who I'm supposed to be and who I was through her eyes. And it is a very intense process and makes for many painful meditations. Mm-hmm. But what I can let go of is little pieces at a time.
It sounds like also you're letting go of perhaps some kind of idea that it's supposed to be going faster.
Yes. Someone sent me a book that said one thing about grieving is that it always takes longer than anyone wants. So that's something else I can let go of.
Longer than most people, I would say, want. Because some people actually hold onto the grief forever. They don't want it to go because it's comforting or something. So not everyone wants it to go. But certainly, you know, to go slower than most people want it to go. And
choice about that?
To some degree, yeah. Yeah, there's choice. But it's very hard to see the place of choice. I mean, this is part of the function of mindfulness practice and sitting still enough so you can go into your psyche deep enough to see where the place of choice is. If you don't see where there's a choice, then you have no choice. And but you know, for example, with grief and a lot of letting go, there is a natural process that goes on as well. And so part of the function of mindfulness practice is to make the optimal conditions to allow this natural process to go. And your job is to make the right conditions, not to direct the show.
Thank you.
The thing that occurs to me, and it just happened to come up, is choice. Because letting go, sometimes it's hard to understand what it is. It's easy when you see that you're thinking this way or that you're feeling anger and you know that you can, you know, see that and let go of that. But on subtler levels, for me, I'm finding that choosing to think differently about something, to frame something differently, to hold something differently, is actually letting go. But it doesn't seem in this, it doesn't fit the description of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out today. Something triggered a deep reaction in me. And I found myself going down almost like a memory trace or an emotional trace and experiencing this just very strange but familiar pain. And I found myself doing it, and I saw the process, and I actually was able to choose. And it took time, and it was uncomfortable for a little bit. But it did pass. And I was conscious of not forcing it to go away, not forcing it to change, but choosing to frame it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was letting go for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
So sometimes letting go involves choosing a different direction. So I'd like to end with a little story, but if someone else wants to say something, maybe.
Kim,
please.
Yeah, I really appreciated this question because it's actually one that I've been working with myself for about a year. I frame it as, what would I have to let go of to make this easier? And what I like about it, I just want to point out what I've noticed in working with it, is that it has an immediacy to it that tunes the mind towards detecting suffering, which is really important. And so there can be the sense of just knowing that that question is there in the mind makes it easier to notice suffering, because then I become aware that I remember that there might be a way out of it. And so that's a big motivator for seeing it. And I find that it doesn't really require analysis of saying, oh, what could this be? What in the past caused this, etc. It's really more yoga-like, sort of breathe into the tension and just try to imagine what needs to open. And sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. And also, I just want to pick up from one word. You used the word immediacy. The question has immediacy to it. And that's the intention a little bit behind this, offering you this question for this week, is not to ask the question in some abstract way or potential way. Oh, yeah, I can let go. Yes, I could let go of, someday I'll be able to let go of some big thing. But in the immediacy of now, what can you let go of so you feel happier or freer? And don't think it has to be big. Maybe it can be small. Maybe it's as subtle as, I don't know if it's subtle, but it can be, how you eat your meal. Maybe there's a way, maybe something you need to let go of while you're eating your meal, trying to finish as quickly as possible so you can get on to the television show or something. I don't know. What can you let go of? What's simple to let go of? What gives letting go some what's immediately possible? And I bet you'll find all kinds of things. And if you ask this question, you start getting a hang of it. And you get easier and easier and easier to find all these little ways. And as you find the little ways more easy, you start finding the bigger ways, the bigger ways. So what can you let go of? So then the story, if I may. There was a monastery that had a statue of Manjushri Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, this great being, celestial kind of being of compassion, of wisdom. Manjushri is the being of wisdom. And in one hand, Manjushri holds a sword of wisdom that can cut through delusions. On the other hand, sometimes he holds a book with all the wisdom in the book. And this monastery, this particular statue, was famous across the lands because if people came up to it with people who were really troubled by something in their life, and they came to the statue with sincerity, the statue would speak to them, say something. So that was the story. So there was a man who had come to the monastery from the local village, and he came for years. And mostly he was very devoted to the monks there. And he would every few days come by and bring some food to them and make offerings. Then there was a period of time when he was really upset about something, really upset. And he was visibly upset. The abbot saw that he was upset. He was wondering what they could do for him. So at some point he came and the abbot saw he was still upset. The abbot said, today, when you come with your offering of food to the monks, rather than offering it to the kitchen, go up to that statue of Manjushri and offer it at the altar there. And the man was quite dedicated, sincere, devoted. And so he came and made his offering there, knelt down, bowed, and put his food there on the altar. And then when he looked up, he saw that the statue had leaned forward towards him, in the way you would if you were going to whisper a secret in someone's ear. And he looked up, and the statue, when this big statue was going down at him. And then the statue said to him, whispered to him, "Why not? Why not?" And immediately he was flooded with excuses. "I don't have time. Not now, later. I'm not capable. I can't do it. I don't deserve to." All these justifications and rationale of why not. Well, it's why not was the question. So the statue asked him again, "Why not?" And he jumped up screaming and ran out of there, and no one ever saw him again. And he was did not live happily ever after. So that's the unfortunate story for tonight. So the question for you is, I'll lean forward with a secret question. Why not? Why not let go? So thank you very much.